As we left off going along the Seder, so we're up to Magid. So we begin the Mitzvah of Magid. The Mitzvah of Magid, of course, is a fulfillment of the Mitzvah Min HaTorah of Yigadat Ola Bimcha. It's a special Mitzvah Min HaTorah to discuss the Inyanim of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Dafka on Pesach Night. So of course, there is an age-old question that already many have asked as to what's the Chiddush of Pesach Night. After all, Mishnah tells us in the end of the first Berakha Maseches Brachos, there was a Machlekes HaTanoim between Ben Zayman and the Chachamim, whether there's a mitzvah to be Zorchi Yetzias Mitzrayim, to mask Yetzias Mitzrayim every single night. Everybody agrees there's a mitzvah to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim every day. That's at least the way the Mishnah presents as the mokor for the din of maskirin Yetzias Mitzrayim b'chol yom. The others quote Rashi and Chumash quotes what it says in the Mechilta, Zorchi Yetzias Yom Azeh Asher Yetzias Mitzrayim Beis Avodim. So there are different makaris in Chazal for what exactly the mokor of this mitzvah is. Everybody agrees there's such a mitzvah in the Torah to discuss the Yetzias Mitzrayim every day. Although the Torah uses the lashon of zechira, and one would have thought that zechira means just to remember, just to think about it. So it seems from Chazal that's not the case. That every time that the Torah speaks about zechira, so we find that zechira is usually synonymous with dibur. We find, let's say, by kiddush. There's a mitzvah of Zochas Yom Shabbos Akatsha. Nobody says that Yetzi Kiddush just with a hero, just with Machshav alone. So why is that? How do Chazal know that the word Zechira means to speak about? Maybe Zechira means just to think. How do we know what it means to mention, to talk about? So that's what the Shaddai has all discussion about that. So it probably comes from the Gemara in the second Berakha Megillah, where the Gemara comments in the Pasuk about Zechira Samalek. That the Torah says it's a mitzvah of Zechira Samalek. So the Gemara raises the question, Zochor Yochel Balei, I might think that it's sufficient just to think about Ma'ase HaMalek. Amud Loimar Lo Sishkach. The Torah already says Lo Sishkach. We already know that they have to think about Amalek. You have to think about Amalek not to be in violation of Lo Sishkach. Imkei Ma'ash Minin Zohar. If so, what's the Chiddush of Zohar? Kamash Balah and Zohar is Bepeh. The Gemara, famous Gemara in the second Berak in Masechet Megillah, where the Gemara says that the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek requires a Dibur. It's not enough just to think about it. How often that dibur has to be, that's machlokes Rishon. We spoke about many times in the past. Tosfos in the Rosh hold it has to be a once a year type of a dibur. And the Rambam says it has to be always a dibur. Whenever you talk about a malek, that's considered to be a dibur. And the Sefer Chinuch quotes a possibility that maybe it means once a lifetime. Once in every Jew's lifetime, you have to make a mice, like you have to write a Sefer Torah. You don't have to write a Sefer Torah every day. You don't have to write a Sefer Torah once a year. You have to write a Sefer Torah once in your lifetime. So the Chinuch suggests the possibility that you have to be Zoicher a malek once in your lifetime. So those are details as to how often you have to do the Zechira B'peh, but everybody agrees that Zechira Samalek has to be B'peh. So that's what the Lechaira is true by all the Zechiras as well, that maybe we have to learn, maybe there's some kind of Xerish Shabbat, there's some kind of a Levod that Chazal never tell us about. Chazal never tell us how do they know that Zechira Shabbos has to be B'peh, maybe it's enough B'leiv. Chazal never tell us how do you know that Yetzias Mitzrayim has to be B'peh, not B'leiv. But maybe it's all part of the same package deal. Maybe this is a binyanav. Some of this becomes the source for all the mitzvahs of zechira. So whenever the Torah uses the word zechira, it always means lahazkiya rather than just lizkar. So too, when it comes to mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim, so everybody agrees there's a mitzvah of lizkir Yetzias Mitzrayim by yomim, either based on the mantizgor of Pashas Re'eh or based on zochas yom hazeh of Pashas Bo. The machlekes haTanoim was, what about the laila? Is this a mitzvah that applies at night as well? Or is this just a mitzvah that one fulfills during the day, as the Pasuk says, is Yom Seischa? So that was the Machlekes HaTanoim. So why would anybody say it means Laila also? So that's what the Mishnah explains, that revolves around the Pasuk, Kol Yimechayecha, Kol is a Riboy. So what exactly is Kol coming to me Marbe? So according to some Tanoim, Kol is coming to me Marbe Salelos. According to the other Tanoim, Kol is coming to me Marbe Yimos HaMashiach. Why in the world do you need a Pasuk to be Marbe Yimos HaMashiach? You don't need a pasuk to tell me we're going to keep Shabbos in Yimos HaMashiach. You don't need a pasuk to say you're going to put on tefillin in Yimos HaMashiach. Of course you can do mitzvahs in Yimos HaMashiach. So why would anybody in a million years think that you need a pasuk to be Marbe Yimos HaMashiach? So that's what the Gemara explains in Maseches Brachos, the end of the first parak, because since the events of Yimos HaMashiach are going to be so great, they're going to, in a certain sense, overshadow Yetzias Mitzrayim. So maybe the mitzvah of Zechir Yetzias Mitzrayim won't apply in Yimos HaMashiach. Maybe, because rather, based on the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, rather than emphasizing the Geula of Mitzrayim, maybe the Asad Lavo will emphasize only the Geula of Asad Lavo, and we'll forget about Mitzrayim. So Kamash Balan, the Rabbis Yimos HaMashiach. And even Yimos HaMashiach, you still have to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. Fine. So the machlokes that turn on. How do we pass in the halacha? So we pass like Ben Zoma. We pass in that Rabbi Loz Ben Azai was machri like Ben Zoma. We pass in like Ben Zoma that kol is the rabbis as halelos. So we pass in as a mitzvah to be mentioned it's mitzvah by yom, a mitzvah to be mentioned it's mitzvah by laila, and the pashup shot is that they're both mitzvahs in the Torah. The pasuk is befeirish by yom. The riboy kol is a riboy deraisa. So the pashup shot is that every single night the person is obligated to be masked it's mitzvah. Is this one mitzvah? Is this two mitzvahs? Is the nature of the mitzvah that there's one mitzvah called Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? There are just two parts to it. There, you fulfill the mitzvah two different times, but it's basically heading of one mitzvah. But do you say that these are two different mitzvahs? There's a mitzvah by Yom, and then there's another mitzvah by Laila. The two mitzvahs have nothing to do with each other. So that seems to be Machlekes HaChevronim. There's Machlekes, the Magen Avraham, the Shekes Aryeh, where the women are obligated in the Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim every single day. Is that called the mitzvah Zaseh Shazman Grama or not? So the Magen Avraham says that women are obligated to mention it's Yitzchus Mitzrayim by Yom V'Laila, not to do with Pesach. Regular mitzvah of Yitzchus Mitzrayim by Yom V'Laila. So the Magen Avraham writes, women are obligated. So even though women are pturas from Kriya Shema, that means they don't have to say the Kriya Shema B'Torah is Kriya Shema, but they have to say the third parsha or the Brichas Kriya Shema, or some kind of Yitzchus Mitzrayim, because the Magen Avraham argues, it's not as man grama, because there's point to be a time when the mitzvah doesn't apply. The mitzvah is 24/7, 365 days a year, entire lifetime. There's always a mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's not called as man grama. And the Shekes Aryeh disagrees. The Shekes Aryeh says no. He says there's a mitzvah by Yom, and that mitzvah is not noig by Laila. And there's another mitzvah by Laila, and that mitzvah is not noig by Yom. So there are two different mitzvahs. So that's not called an ongoing mitzvah. That's called each one is an independent mitzvah. Each one is a mitzvah. That's Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. But no matter how you slice it, vis-a-vis women, vis-a-vis men, there is such a mitzvah, and Pashtun is the mitzvah in the Torah, of mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim Alaylos. If so, if there's such a mitzvah, so then you can raise the question, what's the Chiddush of Pesach night? Assuming there's such a mitzvah to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim each and every night, so what's the Chiddush of Torah that you have to have Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? What is Sipur above and beyond Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? So Reb Chaim has a famous word. Reb Chaim is Chidusha Ban Shas has a famous word. Reb Chaim points out that if you look carefully in Chazal, you notice that there are differences the halacha between the Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim of every night and in contrast to Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim of Pesach night. So one of the differences that Reb Chaim points out is that Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is just a statement via Allah. You just have to make a statement about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Moshe Ein came, he got it to Labincha, it has to be Derech Magid. And the Chazal always use the phrase Sipor, it has to take on the characteristics of a story. What are the characteristics of a story? So a lot of characteristics of a story. So what is it? It has to have chapters, it's got to have illustrations, it's got to have a picture. What exactly? It's got to be available on the CD. Well, what exactly does it mean? It's a story. The story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So Chaim says, he thinks that's where the halacha of Derech Shein L'Tshuva comes in. The Mishnah describes a very strange thing. The Edom Masechus Pesachim, the Mishnah describes V'kana Ben Shoyel. The Mishnah dictates that as soon as you pour the second cup, so all of a sudden the child has to say the following questions. Manishtan Eleza Mikol Eilas, a whole Derech Shein L'Tshuva, Manishtan, a whole Shtikul Torah with questions and answers, and Chazal say, and if you don't have a son, so then your wife has to ask, and your wife does this, you don't have a wife, you have to ask yourself. Everything is done Derech Shein L'Tshuva. Why is everything done Derech Shein L'Tshuva? And the answer is that's what the Torah says. Yisholcha Bincha. The Torah itself presents the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim as Yisholcha Bincha. In three different places, the Torah speaks about Yisholcha Bincha. So Reb Chaim says that Yisholcha Bincha is not just telling you historically what's going to happen. The Torah is telling you, by the way, you're going to have kids who are going to ask questions when they get older. No. Yisholcha Bincha is a prod of the mitzvah. It's a brisk avort. It's a lom de shavort. That the only way to fulfill Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, it has to be Derech Shelo Tshuva. Because it has to be Derech Sipur. It has to be a story. When does the mitzvah of Zechira, it's a kiddush, they make kiddush in Friday night. So I make kiddush in Friday night, I don't have to open up the kiddush and say, why are we making kiddush tonight? What are we trying to remember? We're trying to remember the Moshe created the world. If you want to do that, that's fine. But that, you want to read the Pasha questions later with the kids, that's fine. But it's not ma'akev, the Pasha questions are not ma'akev in the mitzvah of kiddush. When you fulfill Zechira Samalek. So when I do Zechiras Amalek, why? What did Amalek come to do? Well, Amalek came to kill us. So, you can tell the story, but it's not necessary. You just get up and you say, Zochah, Amalek, Ashekot, you should just make a statement. So Yetzias Mitzrayim each and every day is also the same story. No pun intended. The same story. You don't ask a question. You don't give an answer. You just make a statement. But on Pesach Lent, everything is couched in terms of questions and answers, because it has to be derech sip. It's got to be derech hagod rather than just derech zechira. Then there are other factors that are necessary, says Rav Chaim, that a story's got to have a plot, it's got to have development, you need character development, you need plot development, it's got to be very complicated. Take a whole course in English literature, how to develop a storyline. Zechira, it's a thought, it's just a statement, finished. Rosh Hashanah, thank you very much, move on to davening Shmoneh Esrei, finished, okay? Time for the end of davening, Kiddush afterwards, and Shmoneh Esrei, finished, that's Zechira. But Sipur is a whole different ballgame. Sipur means you have to have a development of the story. So what's the bare minimum development of the story? So Rav Chaim says the bare minimum is Maschal Begnus Mesayim B'Shevach. You have to have a contrast. You have to have a beginning. You have to have an end. You have to have a climax. The beginning is Begnus. You have to tell over where we started out. It's not enough just to say the Rebbe Shlomo started Mitzrayim. It's not enough. You have to explain what was Mitzrayim, who was Mitzrayim, where was Mitzrayim, what was going on in Mitzrayim, what was so bad about him, what's so bad about Mitzrayim. So you have to emphasize, you have to explain about the Mayino, and Bitchilav Devarizari, you have to emphasize the spiritual problems and the physical problems, all the terrible things in Mitzrayim, and then Akshav Kivan Bachman Vosloi, Yatsiyan Hashem Mitzrayim, all the Gevalik Shevach. So it has to be a Master Begnus Mitzrayim Shevach. If you don't have the contrast of Master Begnus Mitzrayim Shevach, so you didn't really tell a story. You made a statement, but you didn't tell a story. So the secret is Mitzrayim. It has to be Derech Magid. It has to be Haggadah. Your Magid. Magid is like Sipur. It's not enough just to make a statement. It has to be a Maslam Magnus Mitzrayim Shevach. Then there are other parts of secret is Mitzrayim that seem to be very, very different than the Sechiris is Mitzrayim. What if a person tells over the whole story, spends hours and hours and hours telling over his great grand, every medrash, he's got the medrash says and the little medrash says and the little medrash says and the baby medrash, every medrash under the sun. He's telling over the whole story. And he never makes a point to say that there are mitzvahs that are associated with Pesach. He doesn't explain to his children that there's a carbon Pesach. He doesn't say there's a mitzvah matzah. He doesn't say there's a mitzvah morar. So did he fulfill the mitzvah of secret tzitzit with tribe or not? So if he would have asked me, I would have said, yeah, he told over the story of Mitzrayim. Might have come in whether he related it to mitzvahs. He watched the whole Ten Commandments together, so the whole story and everything, but they never got to the punchline. He never opened up Maseches Pesachim with them. He never opened up Mishnah Berurah Chelekei. He never said anything about the mitzvahs. Hayayim, nothing. So, okay. So maybe he was deficient in his chinuch, but why does that detract from the mitzvah of secrets? Mitzrayim? He said, I told over the story. So that's what the Rebbe Gamliel Ha'Omer, said, the Koshla Omish Loshen Dvar B'Pesach L'Yotze De'Chavasai, that if a person doesn't speak about the Pesach Matzah more, at least a little bit, so he didn't fulfill his obligation. Which obligation did he not fulfill? What's the Chavasa of Rebbe Gamliel? So it's unclear. He did not fulfill his obligation. What's the problem with that phrase? His obligation? It's a what? What's that called? It's an Avi Lakshan. What's it called?
It's called
It's called the Dagmar Fabi, that's what it really is. We used to call it that, but it's really? It's an ambiguous pronoun. There's some deep dark secret, we called it a dangling modifier. I don't know what, for years, we called it that. You know, called, by the way, a couple of days ago, Shiloh Kramer called. Anyone remember Shiloh Kramer? No one remember Shiloh Kramer? I'll give you a hint. Ron and Maseches Adarim, Dovish Eshem Atirin.
Clash.
Hit Nagdut. Mr. Hit Nagdut himself, he called, tell me he had a baby. So I said, Mazov, on behalf of the whole Shia, thank you. He was the Talmud I had a few years ago. We met him more than a few years ago. When we learned the famous Sikh of Dosh Yesh Matirin, it was in Maseches Beitza. So he was an Israeli boy, so I was trying to explain how there's a clash, there's a conflict, there's a clash. I said, Rebbe, what you want to say is Yesh Hitnagdut Po. I said, you're right. And that became the word. That became the code phrase for Dovish Yesh Matirin for years and years. So he just called me the other day. Okay, anyway, we have old time with me. Okay, what are we talking about? I forgot. Oh yeah, what's the Yotze Dechavasa? What chayva? Who chayva? What chayva? So there seems to be a machlekes every shalom. What chayva were you not yotze? So the Rambam writes that lo yotze yidei sipritzis. That's right. The Rambam puts the statement of Rabbi Gamliel in the discussion of what you have to say at the Seder. So the Rambam says you got to talk at the Seder, maskel begnus and derech shel tshuva, whatever the details of the mitzvah are. And the Ram says that a person didn't say it's a Pesach Matzah Mor Lo Yotza. And the Ram says, V'dvar Me'elu B'chol Hagodah, all of the above, everything I just told you, that's the mitzvah of Hagodah. That's what Magid means. So the Rambam is learning that according to Rabbi Gamliel, Kosh L'Omash L'Shedvar B'Pesach is a prat in Hilchus Magid. This is unlike other Rishonim, the Tosfos and the Ran seem to understand that L'Yotzei De'Chavos has nothing to do with Magid. L'Yotzei De'Chavos means you weren't Yotzei the Pesach Matzah. If you eat Pesach and you don't talk about it, if you eat matzah and you don't talk about it, you eat mara and you don't talk about it, you weren't yotzei the mitzvah of achilas Pesach matzah mara. That's what the Ran asks the question. The Ran says, what do you mean you weren't yotzei? What kind of a joke is that? You weren't yotzei yedei chavasai? The Torah says, be'erev teich lematzahs. So I took a piece of matzah and I ate it. I forgot to talk about it. So I'm not yotzei the mitzvah. So the Ran says, no, that doesn't really mean it. Lo yotzei dechavasa is not literal. Lo yotzei dechavasa means lo yotzei dechavasa karo'oi. It means you didn't do what you're supposed to do. Since there's a din, the amartem zevach Pesach, you're supposed to speak about the Pesach. And we derive from here that you're supposed to speak about all the mitzvahs alayla, about the Pesach, the matzah, and the maror. And you only did a ma'aseh achila, and you didn't do an amira. So you were yotzei matzah, you were yotzei Pesach and maror, you were yotzei. Well, it's pastish. It wasn't that night. It wasn't done properly because you weren't medaber. You didn't speak about it. So you lost that added kiyum of Yamatim Zevach Pesach. But to say you weren't Yaitzeh, says the Ran, this is not Yaitzeh. It's ridiculous. Mecha Pesach not Yaitzeh. The Pesach says, eat matzah. Eat matzah. Finished. So it's clear from the Ran that Koshlo, Omoshlo, Shadom, Yotzeh, Dechavoso, Rabbi Gamliel is not addressing the Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim. Because the Chayr, according to the Ran, what does Pesach Matzah have to do with Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim? Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim means to tell over the story. So I told over the story. So I never got to the point about the mitzvahs. Okay, how does that detract from the mitzvah of Sipur? But according to the Rambam, no, according to the Rambam, the one who doesn't mention the mitzvahs wasn't Yotzei Sipur. Because part of the Sipur is to relate the events, the history, to the mitzvahs alayla. What's the mocha for this? How do you know if this is true? Where did we get this idea that these mitzvahs are that the mitzvahs hayom, the mitzvah laila, are part of the mitzvah of Magid? So that's what the pasuk says. He got it from the Dincha ba'avur zeh asa Hashem l'mitzvah Mitzrayim. What's the ba'avur zeh? Chazal never talks ba'avur zeh means the Pesach Matzavara. So the Torah is saying you have to tell over. He got it from the Dincha. What do you have to say? Ba'avur zeh. You have to say over that I came to eat Pesach Matzah Maror, I saw Hashem leave and say, Sibi Mitzrayim. He took me out of Mitzrayim to come to eat the Pesach Matzah Maror. So if you don't get to the punchline, if you just tell over the whole story of the Mamakas and you talk about frogs and you sing songs, Dayenu, and you never get to the Galil like Omer, so the Rambam says, Ikechos Mitzah Sefer, you missed the whole chunk of the mitzvah. So according to this is another dimension that Sipur has above and beyond Zechira. The rest of the year, you don't have to talk about Pesach Matzah Maror. You just say the state of history. I mean, Hashem Atechem, it's time finished. End of discussion. It's only on Pesach night that you have to link the historical statement to Mitzvah Hayom. You have to relate it and say, Pesach Zushan Ochel Mashuma, Matzah Zuch, Morazah, etc. So we have a few differences, the halacha, between the mitzvah of Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim on Pesach night and Zechir Tzias Mitzrayim the rest of the year. So the differences in terms of whether it has to be Derech Shel Tshuva, we have differences in terms of whether it has to be Masa Kudus Masayim Shevach, differences whether it has to be related to mitzvahs as well. Are there any other differences? Anything else? Any other differences? So the Haggadah tells us that Kolamar B'Lasap B'Tzias Mitzrayim Harezim Meshubach. That you're supposed to speak about Tzias Mitzrayim more and more and more. So that halach of Kolamar B'Lasap B'Tzias Mitzrayim Harezim Meshubach, is that true by Zechira? Would you say that that's true on a regular day? Let's say instead of a guy just saying Kriyishma and saying Adi Hashem Lekechem, a guy right after davening pulls out a Sefer Shmos and starts reading all of Sefer Shmos and Va'ira and Bo. He wants to be Yaitzeh the din of Kol Amar B'Lasap B'Tzias Mitzrayim. It's a little bit funny, no? We usually think that Kol Amar B'Lasap B'Tzias Mitzrayim Reis Meshubach is only a din by Sipur. It's only a din on Pesach night. We don't find such a din the rest of the year. So the Mishkas Yaakov and his Shuvah is right. Maybe there is. Maybe there is such an idea the rest of the year. But that's what the Pasha says that nobody else says that way. Why is that not true? So the answer is because the nature of the mitzvah is different. And the nature of the mitzvah is Zechira. So I was masking already, showing him. So I did it. The Kiddush. There's a mitzvah called a marbet to say a long Kiddush. It's nice to sing Zmiras. You can say whatever you want to sing. But there's a mitzvah to add more and more and more and more and more words to the Kiddush. So that sounds strange. There is no such mitzvah. You mentioned Kiddush, finished. There's a mitzvah to lay in a longer Parshas Amalek. Instead of just laying Parshas Amalek, we should lay in Parshas B'Shalach, and we'll talk about Amalek. But you mentioned Amalek already, finished. We might say, what kind of didn't call a marvelous opera? But because of Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim, it's a story. So the longer the story, the better. Sometimes you write a book, it's very short. There's a short story. There's a short stories and there are long stories. So some stories are only a couple of pages long. Other stories are really, really long. You get a really good novel, some 1,000 pages. That's like a schmack. That's a book. So that's called a marvelous effort, raise a mishubach. So the other, you could be answered with a short story. You could be answered with a paragraph. As long as you got the basic, maskim v'rus ma'am b'shevik, got all the main components in. So it's a very, 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 very short story. L'chadchili, you should write a whole novel. L'chadchili, you should tell of a long series about Yitzias Mitzrayim. Kol marvelous opera, L'chora is only true on Pesach night. L'chora doesn't really make any sense outside of Pesach night. What exactly does called marvelous opera mean? So there are some acharonim of a big chiddush. They call a marvelous opera doesn't just mean that you have to be marvelous opera at the time of the mitzvah. The call a marvelous opera means you have to go above and beyond this matter mitzvah. Even though the mitzvah is technically ended, you're supposed to continue going on, which is a very, very strange concept, because we don't find that by other mitzvahs. By other mitzvahs, if you go past this man, and it's called Bal Tosif, the guy's going to say, I want to be marv in the mitzvah yeshiva besukkah. Call a marv elesha besukkah reza meshubach, so I'm going to sit in the sukkah until Chanukah. That's a leitzanus. The guy says, call a marv by other mitzvahs, it's over already. Call a marv with kia shofar reza meshubach, and keep on blowing shofar till Yom Kippur. That's absurd. That's a shalom Bal Tosif. So here, some Achamarim say they call a marbe, the nature of the mitzvah of Sibut Yisrael is such that he's supposed to be marbe, even past this man of mitzvah. Why would anybody, what's the mokhaf is such a wild thing? So many Achamarim pick up on the Haggadah, because the Haggadah speaks about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah saying, participating in the Seder until the morning. So why was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah at the Seder until the morning? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's shita is, he's only allowed to eat Korban Pesach till Chatzos. And the Gemara says in Pesachim that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the mitzvah of matzah is only until Chatzos min haTorah, and therefore in the mitzvah of matzah is until Chatzos. So Bavur Zeh is only b'shar sheish matzah mor menachal lefanecha. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, at 12 of Chatzos, you go to sleep, finish, the Seder is over. So why did Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah continue until the morning as well? So lo chaser terutzim to this kasha. Some say it was in deference to Rabbi Akiva, it was in Bnei Brak. There are other reasons that are given, but some achrenim write that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah kept on going, because he felt that was a key of kol amar v'lasapah reizim meshubach. According to those acharonim, the same is true according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds that the sov zman of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of Sibut Yetzias Mitzrayim is really a los hashachar. After los hashachar min haTorah, you can't eat Pesach and you can't eat matzah. It's ready the next morning. So afal pichein, he still kept on going until zman kriyat shema. Zman kriyat shema is after los hashachar. So why did Rabbi Akiva keep on going until zman kriyat shema? He also helped with this idea that kol amar v'lasapah reizim meshubach. That's a nice thing supposed to do to try to spill over past the official Zman HaMitzvah as well. This is a very, very strange idea. It's a nice pshat on the, pshat in the Haggadah, but it's a very, very strange idea of the Halacha. And we don't find such an idea to call a marvelous Sapa, Bishlam a winner of the Zman HaMitzvah, I understand, but that a mitzvah should go past the particular parameters of the Zman is a very, very hard idea to understand. But there are some Acharonim who have such an idea. It's a hidden mitzvah, it's kind of a hidden mitzvah. I don't know. I remember, you have by other mitzvahs a little bit, you have an idea that there's a minimum ma'isa mitzvah, and then somehow you do the mitzvah more and more and more. That's also like a kind of a greater mitzvah, like by Na'anuim of Alula. So Tosfos writes in one day that there's a problem. How can you make a bracha on Alatilas Lulav if you already picked up the lulav? Make the bracha when the lulav's on the table. That's too early. Once you pick it up with Arbei Nafik, but you're already into the mitzvah. So why don't you make the bracha? Tosfos calls one day that says that, that's all right. You pick it up, then you make the bracha. Ayu yaitzir mitzvah. Tosfos says, no, you didn't complete the mitzvah yet because you didn't do the nanum. You didn't shake the lulav yet. Even though the nanum is not mahake, you yaitzir with agwe nafik, but you yaitzir without shaking the lulav. So Tosfos says, the bracha is chal on the nanum. So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, in the Sefer Nikra Kodesh, so he understood that Tosfos to mean it's like hidden mitzvah. The bare minimum mitzvah is just to pick up the lulav. That's l'kachtem. The Torah says l'kachtem, but it's a hider. It's a greater hider, not just l'kachtem, but hazal l'kicha. When you shake, you're moving around, and you're banging each other's head. That's hazal l'kicha. That's a hider mitzvah of l'kicha. So therefore, you can make a bracha on hider mitzvah. So Tzvi Pesach Frank suggests, you see right from this Tosfos, you can make a bracha on hider mitzvah. The big machlokes in the Acharonim, the true Rav Kiveg about it, that of a person say starting to light Neres Chanukah. And he forgot to make the bracha. He lights one candle. And then Gevalt, he realizes it's the third on the Chanukah. He forgot to make the bracha. Can he make a bracha on the next two candles? So the next two candles, you yaitzir ready, nevi shebezo. But the next two candles are b'toras mahadrin, mahadrin, and mahadrin. Can you make a bracha and hid the mitzvah? It's all tumble in the Acharonim. So Rav Tzvi Yosef Frank tries to bring a raya from that place, just about that there's a bracha nanuim. Nanuim is a bechin of a hidden mitzvah. That's kind of like the same idea that you're saying, that there's the bare minimum mitzvah. And the more you're saying, the more the merrier, the more of that's kind of like a zekel and veil type of halacha. I don't know, I'm not sure the dinyan is right, I'm not sure that that's correct. So I remember one year, when I was a bacher, so I lived in Riverdale, so I used to always say shiurim on Pesach and Sukkot, where Willow would always ask me to say one of the slots between Milcha Meirev, either in Shabbos Chol Moed, or Tantif, whatever it was, I'd give a shiur in the shul, some in Yana Diyana. So those were always the scariest the shiurim I had to give, because all the tells of Rosh Hashivas were always home then. So they were all sit there, and I would give a shiur. I was 22, whatever, early 20s. And Rabbi Osborne used to sit there, and then the other Rashi used to sit there, and he used to speak. So one year I spoke about this bracha nanur. It's a din of hidden mitzvah. This is a rai. You can't make a bracha hidden mitzvah. Back and forth about that tais, about the bracha nanur. So Rabbi Osborne was there at the time, so he didn't like it. He said that he didn't. It wasn't wrong with me. It was wrong with Rabbi Tzvi Frank. He said he didn't think that was right. He didn't think that taisus meant that it's a din of the mitzvah. He thought that's a special din prati. It's not a din klol, it's a din prati. I'm not the only one who uses those terms. It was a din prati in Anuim. Anuim says a kiyum of lulav. It's not a din of mitzvah. So we were arguing about that at the time. So it was back 25 plus years ago. So once you guys were born, that's what you're talking about. Yeah.
Golmarva pushes off the mitzvah past this man mitzvahs, and then what happens to the afkomen of the other mitzvahs that are part of this man?
Yeah, the other mitzvahs don't continue. The korban pesach, if you eat korban pesach, you have to also shachar. That's not golmarva. You have karis. That's
right.
No, sir.
Right. So they just didn't have. Right. They wouldn't like. Didn't need afkomen. They, you know, in that story.
They didn't need anymore. It doesn't say they were still eating. They finished. Oh. Rabbi Elazar finished his afikoman before chatzos. He didn't have to come with it. He finished his matzah, whatever it was, before chatzos. And sure, I remember one year I used to teach in Stern. Years ago, first got married, so I used to teach in Stern. So it was like one halacha class semester. So I was one year. It's up to Bachus Pesach, whatever it was. So I spoke about the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah about when the sof zman of Akiva's Korban Pesach is, and then when the sof zman of Magid is, and the sof zman of Rafi Kayim, and how all the mitzvah Laila. So all emanated from the machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So he asked the question on the final. I said, when is the latest time to eat the Korban Pesach matzah? Last time to say the halakhoyzer? So one of the girls that wrote back in her answer that it's a machlokes between Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva Eger. I didn't correct that. Maybe it was a little historical context. Akiva Eger with 20 years ago. It was a dialogue of 8:30. It could have happened here also. Believe me, guys, you can make the same thing. I wouldn't have all been shocked. Okay. Anyway, getting back to the story. So we know a little bit about the mitzvah Magid, a little bit what the additional dimensions of Magid are, how to fulfill the mitzvah Magid. Tachlis, l'maisa, how does a person supposed to fulfill the mitzvah Magid? Magid is a mitzvah shebedibur. So l'chora, like any other mitzvah shebedibur, I can either be yotzi myself, or I can be yotzi to shebei ha'koine. That's what the Gemara sounds like in the end of Maseches Pesachim, that that's perfectly okay to be yotzi shebei ha'koine, like any other mitzvah. It can be mitzvah in Kiddush, mitzvah in Kriyas Megillah, Parshas Zohar, Havdalah, etc. So I can be motziu in Magid as well. The only thing is that you have to make sure that the person who's being motziu is a b'chuyu b'davar. That's what the Gemara mentions in the end of Maseches Pesachim, that there was a problem in Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes the Seder. Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes were both blind, and the Gemara has one opinion that says that a blind person is potter from saying Sipat Yisrael Mitzrayim. As Machlekes HaTanoim, is a blind person chayv in all mitzvahs, and we paskin that yes, most for sure paskin yes. But even assuming that a blind person is chayv in mitzvahs, like we assume lahalacha, maybe spotted from a sipat zibin shrine. Why? Because he can't say bavur zeh. Bavur zeh means I can see it. Zeh keli van zeh, because zeh reva kadesh. Zeh always means I'm pointing to something, I can see it. So bavur zeh, according to one day in the Gemara, means that you have to be able to see it. If you can't see the matzah bar, then there's no mitzvah of sipat zibin shrine. And the other day the Gemara says that's not true. That there is no such drasha. So the Gemara tells us a story that in the house of Rav Yosef, in the house of Rav Sheshes, they used to say the Magid. They would be mighty, their family members in the Magid. And the Gemara asks the question, how can they do that if they weren't Mechui B'davar? The Gemara says, either we conclude from here that they held that a Suma is Chayav to say Magid, or the Gemara says, maybe they held that Magid is Manazaz on the Midrabanan. Why is Magid on the Midrabanan? Because there's one day in the Gemara that Matzah is also Dirabanan is Manazaz. We happen not to pass like that day. So we paskin that matzah is deraisa, we paskin maggid is deraisa. So the only way to explain how Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes could have possibly set over the Sifas Yisrael Tzrayim is maybe they held the Taka Dechayev. But lu yitzui, they would be potter. Intum Salam, the person would be potter, and then they wouldn't be able to be motzi you in Sifas Yisrael Tzrayim. So you see clear for the Gemara that the regular rules of Mechui B'davar, of Shemek Oin, and the regular rules of being motzi somebody in mitzvahs applies to maggid also. So if a person wants to be able to maggid or hearing from somebody else, technically speaking, that would be okay. Many people don't like to do that, the same way that we don't like to be multi people in Birchas HaMazon, because it's hard for people to pay attention. So Bishlam HaKriyas HaMegillah, what are you going to do? You have to read the Megillah B'Tach HaKsav. So if you don't have your own Megillah, so you can't just read the long and the Chumash. So you can read along with your eyes, not with your mouth. So you have a Leis Breir, Pasha Zohar, you have to hear from the Sefer Torah. So you have to hear, you have to be Yatishimek Oinen. But when the Kiddush is not so long, maybe Kiddush HaLakos, you have to be Yatishimek Oinen. But when it comes to a mitzvah, a very long mitzvah like Sifas Yisrael Tzrayim, you're really going to pay attention to the guy. You're going to be sleeping, you're going to be falling, you're going to be not concentrating so well. So therefore, many have a companion that they say the Maggid themselves, that they don't want to be based on Shebek. There are different minhagim, different families. Some families, just the Bala Seder reads the whole Haggadah, everybody's supposed to be listening. And in many, many families, people read along, so everyone has a share in the Sifas Yisrael Tzrayim. Here's another question.
Even though like a blind person like can't point to it, like if you like you eat like the matzah and you eat the afkon and you eat the mar,
but that's what the Gemara says according to one opinion, that zeh means kazer re'eh v'kadesh, you have to be able to see it. That's what zeh keller and veil, like even they saw the shechina. That's a shiloh, women chayavos and sibetis and tribe. So it's unclear. So l'chora should be a mitzvah sasei as man grama, so women should be pturus from it. So there are many poskim who say they don't afal b'chein dechayavos. The question is why? Why is this an exception to the rule? So they start people being afchein ha'ibios or neis. There are ices, there are bonin, pierced bonin. There are a lot of terrorists that are discussed as to whether women are chayavos, not chayavos. There are ices, there are bonin. The bottom line is women are for sure chayavos, at least maybe they're bonin, because the chayavos in dalat kosos, and the second of the kos is the kos of magid. That's what Tosfos says in the end of Pesachim, that women are for sure chayavos and halal on Pesach night. Because if women are pturus and halal on Pesach night, so what do they have to drink the fourth kos for? The fourth kos is supposed to be part of the kosher halal. So Tosfos says, obviously women are chayavos in halal, so presumably women are chayavos in sipur as well. But it's not clear from Tosfos, is that a dimin atur, is that a dimin derabbanu? So maybe it's not such a good idea for a woman to be motzi a man in sipur tzitzit for him, but for one man to be motzi another man, the ikur din is okay. But yeah, l'chetchila, most people I think say a little bit of the sipur themselves as well.
What is the name of the planet?
So you have to tell them. So you have to have a little bit of maskul begrutz masayim b'shevach, a little bit of a derech shav tshuva, a little bit. Someone asks the questions, you're giving an answer to that question, and you have to have Ram Gamliel according to the Rambam. You have to Ram Gamliel. Everything else, baruch hamokom, baruch hu, ma'achiv dayim is not ma'achiv. A lot of that stuff is not ma'achiv. But you have to have the basis. The Mishnah says it's supposed to be gomer derech kol parsha kula. Midirabbanan, they were mesakim to say the whole parsha of Arami Ovidavi. But minatori, you don't have to say Arami Ovidavi. But minatori, you have to say the basic story in whatever shape or form.
If you're a child at your father's table, is your chiyuv to be asking the questions?
So someone has to ask the questions. So if you're the lucky person to ask the questions, you have to ask the questions. And then you're over by mitzvah, so you're supposed to be talking to somebody else. So you have to tell somebody, you got to find someone who's willing to listen to you. Some tell your parents, tell them about Dvar Torah, some tell them that Rabbi Solovsky said in shoot, tell them something.
Do you have to be asked questions?
Well, that's what many people say the Manashtana. We do in our house, like many have the minig that everyone says the Manashtana afterwards. First the child says the Manashtana, and then everyone says the Manashtana again. That way everyone's asking, everyone's answering, and everyone's doing a little bit of everything. So usually what I do is right after Manashtana, so before I get to Avada Mayinu, so I say to each one of my children, I say, the kids in Imran, so tell them over, this is what happens. So all the kids already know, we heard that already, okay? But I tell them over quickly, just basically what Yitzias Mitzrayim. Without your mamash, you're the mitzvah in the Torah. Otherwise, sometimes everyone gets into Avadim, everyone gets singing and dancing, and everyone's frogs flying around, everyone forgets to fulfill the mitzvah in the Torah. So the mitzvah in the Torah is the kid asks the question, he's supposed to give an answer. So the kids sing, little ones sing Manashtana, so I give him an answer. I remember when I was, before we had children, so I would tell my wife to ask me a question. So say something, ask me anything. She would ask me to take out the garbage. Ask anything. Take me to do anything. So ask me something about Pesach. I'd say, you can even ask Manashtan again, just ask it over again. So that way, everyone else was singing and dancing and talking. So at least had a mitzvah. The Chazal said, that ain't no bottom, so ish tashu al. So someone should ask you a question. Okay, you're supposed to try during the mitzvah magid, so you're supposed to try to do the mitzvah magid. The point of magid is to fulfill the mitzvah in the Torah of Yad Vavuha. The point of magid is not to use as a springboard to discuss politics of 2012, school politics, house politics, Iran politics. That's not really the, I mean, whatever's relevant, the things that are relevant in current events that can help you somehow appreciate the Yad Hashem and put the Geula into a different, into a fresh perspective. Okay, that's something that would be appropriate. But somehow, when Tzibut Tzibut Zerayim becomes just a discussion about modern Jewish history or something, it's not really what's supposed to happen. It's supposed to be, the focus is really supposed to be on the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Whatever can sometimes enhance that, okay, that's one thing, but let's try to keep focused, goal-oriented. That's an important approach in life. You try to keep your eye on the ball. You try, the ball is, we got to tell them that you're supposed to speak about Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's what the theme of the night is supposed to be. Chazal Masakin that the mitzvah of Magid is said in the context of a bracha. Like many of the mitzvahs of Halayla, especially the four mitzvahs of Dibur that we perform on Pesach night, each one of them is done in the context of a bracha. The mitzvah of Kiddush is, of course, the bracha of Kiddush. The Samazim is a bracha, and Halal is also has a bracha to it at the end, Halal Gol, etc. But the mitzvah of Magid also has a bracha linked to it, and that's the bracha of Gol Yisrael. So the end of the, once we finish with the whole Magid, then we conclude the Magid with the bracha of Gol Yisrael. So the bracha of Gal Yisrael has a little bit of a nuance in terms of a nusach that becomes potentially relevant for this year. How does the bracha go? Asher galon of Gal Sava Sevim Yitzrayim V'gyan Olay Lazelach Abomatz Avara Kein Yagenu Hashem L'Kein L'Golem Cheir Sosif Vespechim V'vin Shalem Sosif V'noich Al-Sham D'Rob V'noich Al-Sham Menahu. Where? V'noich Al-Sham Menazvach Menapsachim. So the standard text, the way we always say it is V'noich Al-Sham Menazvach Menapsachim. What is the Zvachim? What are the Psachim? So remember, one year I was learning, I think the Kalal was learning Psachim, and I was learning Zvachim myself at night. So I used to say that was the year of the Zvachim and the Psachim. We were both Psachim at the same time. So when you, V'noch Hashem and the Zvachim and Psachim, Zvachim refers to the Korban Chagiga, Pashtas, because Lamais and Erev Pesach, you would bring a Korban Chagiga, and the Korban Chagiga would be eaten also at the Seder. So V'noch Hashem and HaZvachim and HaPsachim, we should be Zayichah next year to eat from the Korban Chagiga, from the Zevach of Chagiga, from the HaPsachim, from the Korban Pesach. That's the tefillah that we request at the end of the mitzvah of Magid. So there were some Poskim who felt that when the Seder takes place on Motzei Shabbos, so you should flip the order around. You shouldn't say Min HaZvachim and HaPsachim, you should say Min HaPsachim and HaZvachim. My high, what's the difference? Because when normally, let's say a regular year, Erev Pesach was on a Friday or a Tuesday, whatever, a regular weekday, can't be a Tuesday, whatever it is, whenever Erev Pesach was on a regular weekday, so then you bring your Korban Chagiga in the afternoon on your Yud-Dalet. This is not the Korban Chagiga of Yontif. Every Yontif, each of the Shalosh Regalim has a Korban Chagiga. There are three Korbanos that are brought in every Yontif. Korbanos Yachid, there's an Olas Re'iya, and you come to the Beis HaMikdash, you're all Fanei Rekam, you have to bring a Korban Ola, you don't need that, that's a Korban Ola. Then there's a mitzvah Shalmei Simcha, that's the mitzvah Smachta B'chagecha, Ein Simcha El B'Shechilish Shalmei Simcha. Then there's a third mitzvah, Chagaisim B'Sei Chag L'Hashem. Chagaisim B'Chag L'Hashem means that each person has to bring a Korban Chagiga during the course of Yom Tov. So that's Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, as a Chiyuv Bin HaTorah, to offer a Korban Chagiga. Then there's an additional Chagiga that's brought on Yud Dalet Nisan, that's Chagiga Yud, it's called Yud Dalet, Chagiga Yud Dalet, because it's brought on Yud Dalet. It has nothing to do with the Korban Chagiga of Yom Tov itself. That's a separate mitzvah. Why do you bring a Korban Chagiga on Yud Dalet for? So that was a Machlekes HaTanan. What's that Korban all about? Where'd it come from? So one Tana said that that's a real Chiyav, and Tema's opinion was that it's a real Chiyav Gomer to bring a Korban Chagiga. You have to bring it. It's a mitzvah essay to bring a Korban Chagiga together with the Korban Pesach, as it says, Zevach Chag HaPosach. So Ben Taim was of the opinion that Zevach Chag is one carbon and Posach is another carbon. You have to bring a Chagiga Sidalot. There's a Chi of Gavad bring a Chagiga Sidalot. And the Chachamim said it's not true. There is no such a mitzvah to bring a carbon Chagiga and Yidalot. Chagiga Yidalot is only a Chayvim Midrash Seifim. It's only Midrash Rabbanan. It's a neder nedav. It's a voluntary carbon. It's voluntary. You can bring shlom whenever you want. It's a carbon shlom. They're not really mechuyev to bring. But why would we want you to bring it? Why the chamim strongly recommend to bring it? The chamim strongly recommended to bring a chagigas yudalid because otherwise you may not be able to eat the carbon pesach in the proper manner. You're supposed to eat carbon pesach al asova. You're supposed to be full when you eat the Korban Pesach. That's stuff to the gills. It should have been a chilagasa, but it shouldn't be. You shouldn't be. You start to say to just eating the Korban Pesach. You're supposed to be ready full with other meat, and then the Korban Pesach should be like the dessert. But the problem is that if you don't bring your Korban Chagiga, so you're not going to be able to fill up. You're not going to be able to have other meat to eat first. So the Chachamim wanted you to bring your Korban Chagiga in order to make sure that you'll fill up another meat first. The only problem is, let's say you have only a few people in your Chabura, and you're going to have a very, very big Korban Pesach. If you can bring a Korban Chagiga, you're going to fill up with the Korban Chagiga, then you're not going to have enough room to eat a lot of Korban Pesach. So everything's going to go to waste. It's going to end up being no sir. That's going to be a problem. So therefore, you shouldn't be in Korban Chagiga then. You only be in Korban Chagiga when it's necessary. When it's lace brayer, when you have to have meat to eat on the Seder night, so then the Chabad wanted you to bring a Korban Chagiga. If it's not necessary, so you don't bring it. So that was the Mechlekes HaTanoim. What's the point of this Korban Chagiga? Is it a real Chiyuv or is it not a real Chiyuv? So this Korban Chagiga, if you assume that what is not a real Chiyuv, then it obviously can't be brought on Shabbos. It's not Korban Pesach is Deche Shabbos. Korban Chagiga is only a Rishus. It's not going to be Deche Shabbos. So that's why some Acharonim had a problem. They said, if Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, they make it to say to Mitzvah Shabbos, then what do you mean we're going to say the Nechal Shaman as Zvachim and Apsachim? If this is the way the say would be, we wouldn't be eating Zvachim and Psachim. We wouldn't be eating Korban Chagiga that year. And Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, you can't have a Korban Chagiga. So therefore, it would be inappropriate to mention Zvachim. So you should just say Vinochel Shem and Apsachim. So why do you say Vin Apsachim and Zvachim? Why do you switch it around? So some Achmarim say, because Zvachim also means Chagigas Tezvav. It means the regular day of Yom Tov, the regular Chol HaMoed, you also mean a Korban Chagiga. So when you have a regular Erev Pesach, so then it makes sense Vinochel Shem and Zvachim and Apsachim, because you eat the Chagiga first and you eat the Pesach afterwards. So the order is such that we should be Zoicha to eat the Chagiga and then the Pesach. But when it's an Erev Pesach that falls out on Shabbos, how can you say you can eat the Chagiga first? You're not going to have the Chagiga. You can eat the Pesach first. And when's the Chagiga going to be eaten? The next day. It means it's going to be Chagiga's Tezvav. So therefore, to highlight the fact that the Korban Chagiga is not the Shabbos, so we flip around the order. We say, V'nechal Sham, min ha-psachim, min ha-zvachim. That's what some Pesachim say. So why do the Pesachim say, well, how you dvar me'yalim? So I flip in the order in the Haggadah, somehow we make the change, the bracha. So whoever heard of such a thing? The whole thing is very, very difficult. Why? Why is it very difficult? Because this is the tefillah liyasam lavo. The tefillah is that next year we should be zoicha to eat the zvachim and psachim. So don't look what the calendar says now. Look what the calendar says next year. He said, "What is the chpapli? What year? That's Erev Pesach. Today is on Shabbos. What really matters is next year. So why don't we say, look at next year's calendar? What's the answer? What? We're going to go back to Kiddush Apiri anyway. When the third base of Mikdash is going to be rebuilt, Mashiach is going to come. We're not going to have a set calendar or to throw out all the calendars. We're going to have to start from scratch. It's going to be Adam and Kiddush Apiri. So we don't have a clue when Erev Pesach is going to be next year. So the whole thing doesn't make any sense. So how could you ever say Vinoch Hashem and Azvachim and Apsachim? So the answer is that we said, I'll be right most of the time. We hope next if it'll turn out, Mashiach will come and it'll be Erev Pesach Chas B'Shabbos. So we will have said Zvachim and Apsachim out of order last year. That's not going to be that number one concern. You're Moshe Mashiach. We have a lot of other things to deal with. It's not going to be the number one thing to cross out all the lines in the ground that's Zvachim and Apsachim. So therefore, Chazal instituted this tefillah. Zvachim and Apsachim. It doesn't matter whether it's going to be that or not going to be that. Machpatli. But there are some Achmarim who have such a custom. So there are different Nischaos in the Haggadah. But this year, Chapsen Achimina, for those in Chutz Laretz, was the second Seder, so we make it believe it's really the first Seder. That's the whole Tekon of Yom Tov Sheni, is to treat it like it's the first. So if the second Seder is really the first Seder, so then Erev Pesach was really Shabbos. It was not on Friday. So in this year's second Seder, there are some who flip the order. Some say, V'noch HaShem min HaPsach min HaZvachim, and others don't. So whatever it says in your Haggadah, whatever you do, don't do whatever, doesn't make that much of a difference. Tosfos quotes that there was some who had a minig when the Seder is on the Motzei Shabbos that you don't have the egg on the Seder plate. For the same reason, because the Shnei Tavshilin, one is connected to the Pesach, one is connected to the Chagiga. There was no Korban Chagiga when Erev Pesach fell on Shabbos, so you shouldn't have it. There's no Zecher. And others disagree with that. Others say it's not true. The Takana was that most of the time you have it, the Nafkamina. But in this particular year there was none. It doesn't matter. It's also included in the Shnei Tavshilin. After you finish the bracha of Gaul Yisrael, so then there are different minhagim in the Rishonim whether you recite a bar priya gofen or not. So many Rishonim say you don't make a bar priya gofen. You made one already. You made one by Kiddush. It's not such a long hefsek. How long was mine? 5 hours. How long did mine take? So the bracha of bar priya gofen is still intact. And other Rishonim say no. Other Rishonim say that the bracha is no longer is not intact for a following reason. Because since the Chacham Mesaken that each one is a separate bracha, a separate mitzvah, a separate takana, so each one gets its own bar priya gofer. The regular rules of because brachas don't apply, each one gets its own brachas. That's the way Ashkenazim follow. Then is some of the Sfardim. Then is Sfardim here. Anyway, do you make a bracha kosheni? Do they make a bracha on the same kosher? Yeah, I don't think so. I think the regular standard Sfardim, they don't make a bracha in kosheni. The Mechaber says that, right? The Ramah quotes the Ashkenazim Yishanim and say, you make a bracha on all four of the kosher. So the Sfardim, who followed the Shulchan Aruch, I think, only make a bracha on the first coast, and then on the third coast. Because the third coast is Birchas HaMazon, so that already, once you bench, that's already a Heschadas from the previous bracha. So they only make on the first and the third. The fourth, they don't make a bar priya because it's covered by the third. So our meaning is we make on Hof. Okay, so pretty much we understand, hopefully we understand a little bit about the mitzvah of secret systems. Right. So we have Magid. What's next? Okay, Rachz, good. Okay, the Tosidaim, that's not so hard. That's pretty simple. Okay, you wash the Tosidaim, good. Okay. After you get to the Tosidaim, is that two things in the poem or is that one thing? What do you think? Is it Motzi and then Matzah? Because the Motzi is the Motzi of Achman Arts? Or is it Motzi Matzah? I don't know, I'm not sure. I don't know. How many things in the poem? Are there 14 things? What are there? How many things in the poem? Right, so Motzi Matzah is one. Some say 15 because of Tezvav, because of well Tezvav one. What? Because they count Motzi Matzah as two. They count Shulchan and Orech as two also? That's the 16. Who wrote the poem? What? Is it attributed to Rashi? No. Did somebody say that? No? Well, that's in days of Rishon. I don't know who wrote it. See what it says, my brothers. Okay. Anyway. So, we might forget the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah. So, of course, this is the mitzvah besides Magid. This is the mitzvah of the Araisa. We pass that Achilas Matzah is the Araisa. The Gemara quotes one possibility that it's not. And maybe Matzah is also dependent upon Korban Pesach. And the Gemara rejects that view. The Gemara says it's not true. The Tanoim disagree. The Gemara quotes a Braisa that supports the other view, and that's how we pass in the halacha b'lishim sofek. It is a mitzvah min haTorah v'chilas matzah pesach night. It's the only mitzvah achil that we have in the Torah left. And in the Torah itself, there are so many mitzvahs of achilu. There's a mitzvah achilas carbon pesach, and there's a mitzvah achilas moror, and there's a mitzvah of achilas truma, and a mitzvah achilas ma'aser sheni, and a mitzvah achilas kachim for kohanim, and maybe even yisraelim. There's so many mitzvahs of achilu. And as man as that, we have namish nothing. What we have is the mitzvah of achilas matzah. We have other times that we have to eat in the Torah, so you have to eat in the sukkah. That's not really a mitzvah achila. Maybe the first night, maybe. Depends on what's achila, yeshiva. But it's the only real absolute mitzvah deraisa of achila is the mitzvah of achilas matzah. So we try to hopefully do this mitzvah properly. So what is necessary in order to fulfill this mitzvah? So we have to make sure you have a piece of matzah. So what makes up matzah? What's the ABCs of matzah? So the Mishnah says that we have a tradition that whenever the Torah speaks about dinim of lechem, either lechem in terms of a parshas challah, lechem in terms of birchas hamazon, or lechem in terms of achilas matzah. Matzah is also called lechem oini. So lechem means a very, very specific thing. It has to be made from chameshes bini dogad. It has to be something that comes from the five special species of grains. So the Mishnah lists off what they are, chit, asar, etc. The other ones, and the Gemara gives you the Aramaic words, and Rashi gives you the Latin words, and we have all the words, we're all sure exactly what they are, so we're not 100% sure. We usually assume that they're wheat and barley, that we know for sure, that everyone knows chit and sar, that was never a question. And then the other grains were a little bit questionable, so it's usually assumed that they're oats, rye, and felt. Not everyone agrees to that, so there are some who eat oat matzahs and spelt matzahs and other matzahs because they have trouble with their digestive system, so they're relying on those poskim who say that those matzahs are considered to be part of the chamesh bnei dogad. Those who don't have such problems, they probably shouldn't get involved in such matzahs, should eat regular wheat matzahs. That's chamesh bnei dogad l'chol hadayos. But again, most of the poskim today sanction the eating of other kinds of matzahs as well, based on the assumption that those are also considered to be part of the Chameshes Minei Dogen. Rashi in Pesachim writes that gives you the Latin word for oats. What was it? Who remembers? Anyone has more Pesachim here? Ibra. Rashi gives you one of the Chameshes Minei Dogen. Rashi gives you what was the old French word, the Latin word for oats. Ibra, something like that. So I came to that realization when my kids had a chicken pox. So they give you that oatmeal bath, right? You used to do that the old days. They still give that oatmeal bath. So it said on the oatmeal bath, it said, I think it said in Spanish, it said something, it said eyebrow something. So I realized, oh yeah, that's Rashi. I said, that's the same thing. Mechavin to Rashi. That's what the Rav used to say. The Rav said he never knew what Orez really was. As Machlokes said, we showed him what Orez is. So we usually assume that Orez of Chazal was rice, but it's not all Rishonim agreed to that. Rashi Taka didn't tell them. Taisus claims that's what we call rice. So the Rav said he was never really sure who was right in terms of what Orez is until he was walking in Washington Heights and he saw they were selling bags of Aroza. So he said he realized that if in Washington Heights Aroza is Aroz, it's Orez. And if they have a Messiah, then that's considered to be rice. That's probably correct. Okay, anyway, getting back to the story. So the matzah has to be made from chameshes min hadagon, and it has to be mixed with water. We said before that, we said the other day, if it has other things mixed into it, so then it's fruit juice mixed into it, then it's what's called matzah shira, and it wouldn't be acceptable for the Lel HaSeir. Ashkenazim have a minig not to eat matzah shira for other reasons, for chametz reasons, but mikra then it's not really chametz, but for the first line of Pesach, the Tzedarim, one would not be permitted to eat matzah shira. What exactly is matzah shira? What has to go into matzah to become matzah shira? So many of the Rishonim learn any meperis. Anytime you mix any flour with any juice, apple juice, orange juice, pomegranate juice, any juice that you mix it with, that's automatically called matzah shira. And the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam holds that only very specific types of liquids transform it into matzah shira. The Rambam lists off four different liquids. If it's oil, if it's wine, if it's milk, or if it's dash, right? Those are the four, right? The four. What the Rambam gives, if it's any one of the above, then it's considered to be matzah shira. If it's not one of those four, then it's not considered to be a matzah shira. Then technically, you could be yaitzim mitzvah chilas matzah with it. Again, we try not to be yaitzim matzah with any kind of fruit juice. Therefore, the what we call egg matzahs today on the market, egg matzahs are not really egg matzahs; it's really apple juice matzahs. So one should not be yaitzim mitzvah chilas matzah with apple juice matzahs, the egg matzahs. Even those who are not well, even those who could who have a heter. According to Ashkenazi practice, to eat egg matzahs, shouldn't really use it at the Seder, because according to most of the Rishonim, they're considered to be matzah shira, they wouldn't fulfill the din of lechem oni. So I'll call upon them again, you have to have a piece of matzah, it's got to be the correct ingredients in terms of matzah. In addition, it has to be, what the Gemara says, it has to be baked. You can't just take flour and water and prepare it in some kind of a pancake or something. It has to have a shem lechem on it. So we said it's brachas, we spent one or two shiur about that. About 6 weeks, about the definition of lechem. So most of the sugyas of what's called lechem appear in the context of Maseches Challah. So we spent a lot of time talking about how do you define lechem in Hilchos Challah, and lechem in Hilchos Brachos, and lechem in Hilchos Matzah. So a lot of the dinim are the same in terms of having a definition of lechem. Basically, what lechem is, it has to be nefa. That's the bottom line. It has to have a maaseh afiyah in contrast to a bishul. When you take flour and water and throw it into a pot, so that's not called the lechem. But if you take flour and water, throw it into an oven, you bake it as lechem, you bake it as matzah, and then you subsequently throw it into a pot of water. So can the bishul be mevatel the shem lechem? So we know that you need an afiyah to create a shem lechem. Once the shem lechem was already created, so can it be nisbatel either bishul or not? So that's a big discussion about matzah mevushelah. So we've asked the matzah mevushelah is no good. Right? Remember, brings back some memories. So why is matzah mevushelah no good? Remember? Either because the bishul is mevatel, the tamatzah, the bishul is mevatel, the afiyah is not lechem. Yeah, a lot of different reasons why we spoke about the Knevich the other day. A lot of different reasons why matzah mevushelah is no good, but the bias in the bottom line is it's no good. So the matzah has to be baked with chila, and then even though it was baked with chila, it cannot be recooked. That would potentially undermine its acceptance for the mitzvah matzah. How much matzah does a person have to eat? So it's very, very straightforward. The Gemara tells us there were two halachos Moshe Messinas as to how much matzah a person has to eat. One was the amount that a person has to eat, and the other was the time frame that a person has to eat it in. So the amount that a person has to eat is a kezayis. That's the shiur achil and kol tarah kula. No different from the Rav Bisurim, from other areas of halacha. Stam achil is the kezayis. That's the halacha Moshe Messinai. And then the second part is kedechilis pras, that the kezayis has to be eaten within a certain time frame. The shiur of kedechilis pras is a din min haTorah in the realm of tzaras, a complicated dinim that depend upon kedechilis pras. Then the Gemara extrapolates it to other areas of Yisurim and other dinim, the raisas and the rabbanans, and the fiyomi, right? The fiyomi, they had the whole discussion about the shiur of kedechilis pras. So that din of kedechilis pras, the Gemara says in Psachim, that applies to achilis matz as well. Remember another year when I spoke in the Rulik Shul, this was a Pesach Shia probably, I was talking about Kedechilis Pras, the Din of Kedechilis Pras. So I mentioned that there's a shaila about what's the nature of the chiddush of the halacha of sitting for dechel kas. What would the din have been without that halacha of sitting? The din have been that you can eat it the whole day, and that's also mitzvah. Comes kedechel pras and puts the brakes on siruf, and says that you can only do the tzaref within a certain amount of time, or is it the other way around? That you started off with, you would have had to eat it mamash at 1 second, kedechel pras is a kula, you can extend it for 4 or 5 minutes. So that's a big machla, a big tumult about how to understand certain sugyas, about what the nature of kedechel pras is all about. So I remember I spoke about that. So at the time, one of the rebbeim from Telz was sitting there. He was sitting mamash in the front row. And I was talking about this chakir, about kedechel pras, and back and forth. So I heard him mumble under his breath. He said, it's a brisker rub, brisker rub. So I knew what he meant. There was a brisker rub in Zvachim about this topic. Right? I was living in Zvachim that year. So I must have been the year of the Pesachim in the Zvachim year. So I said, I know, it's a brisker rub, it's chadushim on Zvachim that discusses this chakir. So he was all excited. Even why you were told about the brisker rub in Zvachim, not kedechel pras. Okay, anyway. So I don't remember what I talked about, but I remember that brisket rub came up. Okay. Anyway, getting back to the story. So it's like the brisket rub and mikvahs. Right? Shalom, they also know brisket rubs. Okay. Anyway, back to this. So the bottom line is you have to eat the kezayis, that's kedechel pras, that's a din in HaTorah. Is there any Indian to eat it mamash at one time? Is this like a bidyevet to eat kedechel pras? Or is it even like a tchila? So there's a very big chiddush of the Chumash Hadeshen that Avraham quotes in Chos Pesach. That the din of kedechel pras is only a bidyevet. How are you supposed to eat it? Kezayis, you're supposed to eat it mamash v'basach. You're supposed to swallow one big gulp, one big chew and swallow, one big gulp with the entire kezayis down at one shot. That's the mitzvah lechatchila. He was probably assuming a much smaller kezayis than we were, otherwise it would be quite dangerous to do that. Therefore, I'm very nervous to advocate that. I tell people not to follow this chumrah. It's only lechatchila according to some. I tell people not to follow it because I think it's too dangerous. We're so used to big kezayis that people are going to start to chew big mouthfuls and end up in the emergency room, so we don't like to advocate that. So this is the problem, says in the Gemara. The Gemara says that imshah kedechel pras is for yaitzeh mitzvah, so we assume it's probably good even lechatchila. But the Tzumas Hadesh and the Magen Avraham have this idea that you have to eat it. You have to eat it mamish lechatchila, at least bevas achas. What led the Tzumas Hadesh to this chumrah? Where did this come from? It came from a Mordechai. There's a Mordechai in Pesachim that asked the question. He says, according to Hillel, Hillel made a sandwich, karech. So he asked the Mordechai, how many kezeisim were in the sandwich? So the Mordechai says there were 3 kezeisim in the sandwich. So if you do the math, 3 kezeisim is more than a kebetza. And the Gemara says that a person's throat can only hold the kebetza. You can't, if you try to swallow more than a kebetza, it's not going to go down. So ask the Mordechai, if there were 3 kezeisim in Hillel's sandwich, so how could he swallow it? It's impossible to swallow it. So the Mordechai talks, gives you an answer, how he swallowed it. Fine. So the Tzumas Hadesh says, what was the question? He says, he took a bite, and then he swallowed it. He took another bite, and swallowed. Who said he swallowed all 3 kezeisim at one time? So you see from here, that no, you see from here that the din is that you look at chil, you're supposed to eat the mass of mamash v'asachas. So maybe tomorrow we'll talk a little bit about korech, so we'll understand whether it's a good raya, not a good raya. That was the raya. So the question is, what was the 3rd kezayis? Korech, matzo, moro. Where's the 3rd kezayis? What was the 3rd kezayis? What was the 3rd kezayis? So Pashup Shad, it was Karim Pesach. It's Machlek Yisrael Rishon, and what was in Hillel sandwich? Was it just matzo, moro, or was it... Karban Pesach as well? So it's Machlekes, the Rashbam and the Rambam. So it's Machlekes, who and who? In Haggadahs? What does it say in the Haggadah? Hayakarech, what does it say? Zeich Mikdashil, Kedah Sahil, it was much Pesach, Shakayim, Hayakarech, what's the next word? Do you say Pesach or do you say Matzah? Parenthesis. So who's Machweer parenthesis? Maxwell House. Yeah, Maxwell House. I was a Pesach at Maxwell House Haggadah 100 years ago in America. They were conveying all the Minhagim for all the Seders in America. So Maxwell House Haggadah wrote Pesach in parentheses. Why did they write Pesach in parentheses? Because they didn't want to pass him. Rabbi Maxwell didn't want to be Machriya between the Rashbam and the Rambam. There were different Minhagim in Europe about whether they say Pesach or not, which is a Machlekes of Rishonim. So they left it in parentheses and everyone should decide for themselves what they want to say or not. So some years I say something, I forget from year to year what I say. Anyway, so either it's Pesach Matzah or it's Matzah Mo. Right. So we'll talk a little bit tomorrow about Karech, so we'll come back to this a little bit more. Anyway, so the bottom line is, in terms of the mitzvah of eating matzah, so for sure, yeah, I'd say if it's Kedech Pras, and some say that's only B'dievet, and others say that would be good even if I feel it. How much is that exactly? How much is Kezayis and how much is Kedech Pras? So well, we know there was a major machlokes in the Gedolim in Europe as to how exactly the Mishara Kezayis is Manazel. The question was, the Gemara gives different ways of calculating what a Kezayis is based on the size of eggs and based on the size of fingers. So the Nedib Yehudan is famous safe in Tzlach. The Tzlach was named after his mother. His mother's name was Chaya, so he wrote a Tzil Nefesh Chaya. It was a memorial for his, like a matzeva for his mother's neshama. So he wrote the sefer Tzlach. The Yehuda was his father, so he wrote his Tshuva's Noed Yehuda, and he wrote the Tzil Nefesh Chaya for his mother. So in the sefer Tzlach, at the end of Maseches Pesachim, so the Noed Yehuda points out the observation that he tried to calculate how much the eggs are today and how big our fingers are today, and nothing seems to fit properly. So the Noed Yehuda says it must be something's changed. The Noed Yehuda says that the eggs must have changed with Manazeh. They must have gotten a little bit smaller than they were in the days of Chazal. So if that's true, then the olives also, so the shear that we're trying to calculate, everything is going to be off. It says in the beauty, if you want to eat a real Torah olive's worth, you got to eat more than what you think an olive is manazeh. So therefore, you have to eat twice the amount, because he claims that the eggs shrunk halfway. The Nebuchadnezzar probably never saw an olive, never had an olive in his life, but the olives didn't grow in Prague, and he didn't get the Kibbutz Yavne olives delivered to him in Prague. So but he had a lot of eggs, he had chickens in Prague, so he's trying to figure out what the size of an olive is based on the size of an egg. So since the eggs have changed, so then you have to take an olive that corresponds to not an egg of our days, not a half of an egg of our days, but it would be a half of an egg of the days of Chazal. So it's got to be twice as much. That's a famous truth of the famous piece of the Nebuda, that he said that all the shurim have to be double. So some achronim accepted the Nebuda, and others said it's not true. Others said the whole thing is not true, that there is no such din. The Mishnah Berurah says, well, gabi dinim derabbanan, we don't have to be chayshish for the Nebuda Yehuda. Gabi dinim deraisa, he thinks maybe we should be chayshish for the Nebuda Yehuda. So since the mitzvah chilas matzahs deraisa, that's what many folks can pick up in this idea, that we take pretty large shiurim. The shiurim grew based on this. There is a statement in the Sefer Tshuva Me'ava. The Tshuva Me'ava writes that he was a Talmud in the Yehuda. So he writes that he asked the Neid Yehuda the question about this calculation. He said that how could it be that the eggs changed? He says maybe the Neid Yehuda's cheshbon wasn't right, because the Neid Yehuda was apparently a very tall man. So the Neid Yehuda sent a picture of him. He said he's a very tall man, so maybe his fingers were bigger. So he said, so maybe his etzbos were larger. Not that the eggs were smaller, but his etzbos were larger. So the way he quotes it, the Neid Yehuda didn't respond to that claim. So the Shuvim Yava thought that he was probably right in what he was objecting to the Neid Yehuda. So the Chazanish writes that he shouldn't even mention this in the Beis Medrash. He says it's silly. He said that it was a game, and the Neid Yehuda didn't realize that he was tall. So the Chazanish says, "Ein lahaskid davar zeh b'Beis Medrash." He says it's letzanas. He says that. He says he doesn't know why the Shuvim Yava wrote this. He doesn't know what's told out. He says it says in the Neid Yehuda that the Shirim got smaller, so it got larger, whatever it is. The Chazanish thought that's what it says. The Sefer is right. It's the game about that he was tall or short. It was irrelevant. Anyway, whatever it is. So the bottom line is the Mishnah Berurah says that for the Isis we try to be matzah. The Rabbanim have a right to be mekel. When it comes to the matzah, the Alachim is matzah. The Der Isis, that's what the thing is. Most people try to have a pretty big shia. How big is big? Even in Kozer Avihu, that's not so big. So you have different opinions as to how big exactly the matzah is. So it's obvious for me to be mechriya the shayla. You know all the great Pesach charts that come out every year. So it's somewhere, take a hand matzah, somewhere between a fifth of a hand matzah and a half a hand matzah, somewhere around there. Fifth, quarter, third, half, I don't know, somewhere in that territory. So we tell people those who are healthy, you're able to eat, collaborate with Meshuvach, eat as much mass as you can. Those who are not so healthy, they should find out what the smaller shiurim are, and they should follow that shiur appropriately. When one eats a matzah, as well as when one did the Dal Kaisas, one is supposed to do Haseba. The Gemara says that if a person eats matzah and doesn't do a seibah, so they're not yetzi mitzvah. What do you mean they're not yetzi? What mitzvah? Who mitzvah? What mitzvah they're not yetzi? So the Rush writes that they're not yetzi the mitzvah of matzah. The Rush understood that even though a seibah is really only midrabbanan, the chomu misachin, that you have to do a seibah, and if you don't do a seibah, then you have to eat the matzah over again, according to the Rush. So the Brisker Rav points out that the Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam never says that if you ate matzah, believe a seibah, you have to eat the matzah again. What does the Gemara mean when it says, if you have to do a seibah, if you don't do a seibah, you're not yetzei? So the Brisker Rav says, but that's the Rambam, that you want yetzei a seibah. It means if you ate the matzah and you didn't do a seibah, so don't think, okay, fine, I'll eat another piece of matzah and do a seibah. That's already meaningless. It means you lost the key of a seibah. So you're blown. You can't do you don't fulfill the ikra din of a seibah anymore. But according to the Rambam, the din of a seibah is not a din in the matzah. We said yesterday, Din of Aseib is a din of Chayiv Adam Laharas Asatzmo Kili Yotzim Mitzrayim. You have to be Maharas Atzmo Kili Yotzim Mitzrayim. All the key parts of the Seder. Anything that has to do with Chayiris has to be done Derech Aseib. You have to do the Halakaisis, you have to have the Afikoimin and the Matzah. Everything has to be done Derech Aseib. But if you don't do it, you don't lose the Mitzvah Matzah. You lost the Mitzvah of Aseib. Aseib Bizman Azeh is a little bit shaky because the Rav Yoh, one of the Rishonim, says that the Mitzvah Aseib doesn't really apply anymore. Because doesn't really indicate anything. Nobody does. The goyim don't do a seiba today. In the olden days, so the Romans would sit on their beds and they would eat. That was a sign of freedom. Whereas the man is there, nobody eats that way. So therefore, the Rav Yoh said the whole mitzvah doesn't apply anymore. So other Rishonim disagree with the Rav Yoh, and our minig is we try to do a seiba even with man is there. That even though you're right, it doesn't really look like anything special with Manazeh, it's still a Zeichad, the mitzvah is still b'mekayim ha-medras. That's what we usually assume, that we try to do a Seiba even with Manazeh. But it could be that B'ikim ha-din, we probably do follow the Rav Yoh, that's Svar of the Rav Yoh. That's why the Ramah quotes a minute that the women don't do a Seiba. The Ramah writes that even though the Gemara says you have an Isha Chashuva, so she should do a Seiba also. But it's not, if the woman's not so Chashuv, so then it's not derech fun to do a seiba. The Gemara says then she doesn't have to do a seiba. If you have an isha chashuva, then she should do a seiba. So the Ramah writes that this man is there. Kol noshim shalano chashuvas hein. Okay, make sure I get that line in for the women. They're all chashuvas, especially they've been cleaning for the last couple of weeks. They're for sure chashuvas. If the noshim are chashuvas, they should really do a seiba. The Ramah writes afal b'chein. They're relying on the Rav Yoh Shita. There's a lot of lumdus as to how they're relying on the Rav Yoh. We're not relying on the Rav Yoh. Maybe we'll talk about that tomorrow a little bit. But whatever it is, the Ramah says that the women are relying on the Rav Yoh. And the poskim also say that sometimes b'shas l'chach, but the Yevon, we also end up relying on the Rav Yoh. But the Yevon, l'chatchila, one is supposed to try to do a seidel. Avram Zev had a whole series of Pesach questions. He had a study, 120 Pesach questions, 100 Pesach B. So one of the questions was about whether women are supposed to do a seidel or not. So the answer was, said no, and it said in the parenthesis, it said Rav Yoh. Rav Yoh was, I don't know if he had to know the Rav Yoh for extra credit, but he said no. So when I was reviewing the questions with him, so my little one, Blima, heard that he said that the girls don't have to do a seder. That's not true. She said she sits with a pillow at the seder, so they were fighting out the machlokes, the Ramah and the Rav Yoh, and they were having the same machlokes was reappearing hundreds of years later when the women are supposed to do a seder. Now, then they had another machlokes about the Ramah Gamliel, Amen. Then I asked him, what are the three things you have to say to Seder? So he said, Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. So Blima said, no, it's not Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. It's Pesach, Matzah, Umaror. I ain't going to wash it. Okay, anyway, whatever it is. So the bottom line is, we know at least what the Matzah is, and we know how quick we have to eat the Matzah, how much we have to eat, the way that we're supposed to eat in order to fulfill the mitzvah and the Netzvah of Matzah properly. Okay, so tomorrow we'll continue with, what's next? Matzah. Tomorrow, okay, good. Now tomorrow we'll finish up a little bit more and a little other things. So I will drop these up to the table.